ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओमाज्ञातिमिनन्दस्य जनञ्जनसलाकाया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपा गदा मायां ददाति स्वापदान्तिकम् मञ्चकल्पतुभ्यश्च कृपसिन्धुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासुदेव गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 I offer my respectful obeisances unto His Divine Grace, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, who is very dear to Lord Krishna, having taken shelter at His lotus feet. I offer my respectful obeisances to Sri Varshabani Devi, Dayate Das, another name of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, who is favored by Srimati Radharani and who is the ocean of transcendental mercy and the deliverer of the science of Krishna. I offer my respectful obeisances unto you, the personified energy of Sri Chaitanya's mercy, who delivers devotional service which is enriched with conjugal love of Radha and Krishna, coming exactly in the line of revelations of Srila Rupa Goswami. I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. Can you ask these ladies to stop talking? I offer my respectful obeisances unto you who are the personified teachings of Lord Chaitanya. You are the deliverer of the fallen souls. You do not tolerate any statement which is against the teachings of devotional service enriched by Srila Rupa Goswami. Hare Krishna. As I always feel a little bit apprehensive on these appearance days of our acharyas, Lord Krishna, who am I to speak about these great personalities? Even Lord Brahma, he said himself regarding Krishna, as far as I am concerned, I do not understand Krishna. So what to speak of us trying to comprehend the greatness of Krishna and his pure devotees. However, I've been asked to speak today something one time Prabhupada A disciple said to Prabhupada, "Prabhupada, you speak so nicely about Krishna." And Prabhupada said, "You speak or I speak, Krishna is sweet." So he wasn't going to have it that, "Oh, Prabhupada, because you are the pure devotee, you speak." No, he said, "You also speak. Because Krishna is sweet, whether I speak or you speak." Bhaktisiddhanta himself wrote one article, "Be a Guru." And in that article, he starts off by saying, "So you want to be a Guru, do you? What kind of person are you that you want to take a position of a guru, to receive flower garlands, and to be worshipped and adorned by others? What kind of personality are you?" And then he turns the whole thing around the other side and says, "But you must be a guru. This is Lord Chaitanya's order. By his order, we must take the position of assisting Lord Chaitanya in his mission to reclaim the fallen souls." So there's this controversy that on one side we feel like fools. We are fools. But on the other side, we are expected to speak. When I got initiated back in 1972, the day after my initiation, there were six of us who got initiated the day before. We came before Srila Prabhupada to offer our Guru Dakshin. When we entered Prabhupada's room, we paid our obeisances. Prabhupada was chanting in the corner quietly. And then he turned around, he saw us. At that point, we paid our obeisances again. Then we said, "Prabhupada, we'd like to offer this Guru Dakshin, our gesture of thanks to an appreciation for you taking us as your disciples." And then we paid our obeisances again. And then Prabhupada indicated to his servant, "Give them a Mangalarti suite." So when he said that, we paid our obeisances again. And then when we received the sweet in our hand, we didn't exactly know what to do, whether to eat it there and then, or wait until we got outside. So we just ended up paying our obeisances again. And then Prabhupada, he saw the situation, he was smiling. He said, "Yes, okay, that is fine. Now you can leave." So then we paid our obeisances again, and then we stumbled out of the room. So about 7 or 8 times we paid our obeisances within 3 minutes. And when I inquired from Prabhupada's servant outside, I said, "Wow, we really made a fool of ourselves there in front of Prabhupada." And he said, "No," he said, "that is perfectly fine. You did perfectly well because in front of the spiritual master you should feel like a fool. If you feel anything, if you feel that you're on an equal level or even senior, then that is a great offense." So he said that you did very well because you felt like a fool, and Prabhupada was also very pleased with you. So this is my position today. I'm going to speak a little bit about Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati, the spiritual master of Srila Prabhupada. I'm presenting myself as the number one fool, asking Srila Prabhupada to please give me his mercy so I can speak about his spiritual master. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So I'd like to go back a little bit prior to Bhaktisiddhanta's appearance. This was during the period between Vishwanath Chakravarti's appearance and Bhakti Vinod Thakur's. And it was explained that during that period, it was very dark times for the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya. Because at that time, the Vaishnavas were performing bhajan for the purpose of receiving wages. Of course, there were some Vaishnavas who were living the life of a real Vaishnava. However, the majority of Vaishnavas at that time, so-called Vaishnavas, they were engaged in performing ritualistic kirtan and worship for the purpose of receiving wages. So when someone died, people would contact the Gaudiya Vaishnava Babajis and they would ask them to come and have kirtan for the passing soul. In this way, we will give you some money for your service. So these so-called Vaishnavas were also engaged in a lot of misconduct. And when Bhaktivinoda Thakur saw this, he was very worried that here these persons are representing Lord Chaitanya, but they're not very qualified. What to do? How are we going to rectify this situation? So Bhakti Vinod Thakur, he engaged his life in trying to restore the teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He went from town to town, village to village. He inaugurated the Namahat program. He assembled five or six persons from each village to be the leaders of the Namahat. And this way, each Sunday they would meet and have kirtan, pravachan, and speak on the topics of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Krishna. So gradually, through his preaching, the Namahat program started to spread. However, it was limited to Navadvip, Calcutta, and the rest of West Bengal. So, in 1874, Bhaktivinoda Thakur went to Jagannath Puri. He was a superintendent of the Jagannath temple at the time. And at that time, Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati appeared. He was given the name Bimala Prasad. His mother brought him before Lord Jagannath at one of the Rath Yatra festivals. He wanted the Lord to bless her son, which Lord Jagannath certainly did bless him, because as she came before the deity of Lord Jagannath on the cart, she was allowed on the cart because Bhaktivinoda Thakur was one of the superintendents of the temple. So she was allowed on the cart, and as she prayed for Lord Jagannath's mercy, Lord Jagannath's garland fell around Bimala Prasad, indicating that yes, he will be a great devotee and he will be very known throughout the world. At the age of 7 years, Bimala Prasad had memorized completely the 700 verses of the Bhagavad Gita. He also would speak illuminating commentaries on each verse. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who was also the author of many books and other writings of the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, trained his son in printing and proofreading. By the time Bimala Prasad was 25 years, he had acquired an impressive reputation as a scholar of Sanskrit, mathematics, and astronomy. He did an astronomical treatise called Surya Siddhanta, which won him the title Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati in recognition of his immense learning. In 1905, following the advice of his father, Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati accepted spiritual initiation from Gaurakishore Das Babaji. Although Gaurakishore Das Babaji was illiterate, still he was a renowned saint, a pure devotee of Lord Krishna. Gaurakishore Das Babaji was satisfied with the humility of Bhaktisiddhanta. He gave him blessings and benedictions to become a great preacher. In that way, Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati then proved himself as a capable assistant in the mission of the work of his father. So in 1914, Bhaktivinoda Thakur departed from this world. At that time, Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati became the editor of his father's journal, Sajjana Toshani, and founded the Bhagavat Press for the publication of Krishna consciousness literature. In 1918, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati accepted the renounced order of spiritual life, assuming the title of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj. Ki Jai. In 1922, an intelligent young college student named Abhay Charan Day happened to visit Srila Bhaktisiddhanta at the Gaudiya Math Center in Calcutta. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta immediately advised the young man that he should preach the message of Krishna consciousness to the Western world in the English-speaking language. Although not able to immediately carry out Srila Bhaktisiddhanta's desire, Abhay became an active supporter of the Gaudiya Math. At one time, the Gaudiya Math, I think it was here in Bombay, they wrote to Bhaktisiddhanta and asked about Abhay. Should he join the Math? He was still a Grihastha at that time. And the reply came by letter that Abhay should not join the Math. He should stay away from your company, but in due course of time he will do everything. That was Bhaktisiddhanta's suggestion, that he will do everything eventually. So this was also a prediction by Bhaktisiddhanta that Prabhupada himself would be the next Acharya in the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya. For the purpose of propagating Krishna consciousness throughout India, Bhaktisiddhanta organized the Gaudiya Math with 64 branches throughout the country. The headquarters of his mission, the Chaitanya Gaudiya Math, was located in Sridham Mayapur, the birthplace of Lord Chaitanya. He would later send disciples to Europe for missionary work. I don't know if any of you have been around the these different mats where Bhaktisiddhanta's footprints have been placed in 64 mats, which he inaugurated. I remember doing this tour back in the middle 70s. I toured around India. I followed the tour which was mentioned in the Chaitanya Charanamrita, which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself went to South India. So it was very, for me, it was very a very profound realization when I went on that tour and I saw the footprints of Bhaktisiddhanta in each one of the mats. It did something for me. I don't remember exactly the experience I had, but I seem to remember that I suddenly understood that actually Krishna consciousness was very special. You have to understand, when I joined, there were no temples, there were no ISKCON temples as such. There were hardly any books. I notice you have so many books here. There are hardly any festivals. We had our Mayapur festival. The first Mayapur festival, there were 200 devotees. 200 devotees worldwide. And Prabhupada was on a morning walk and suddenly he stopped. He said, "This Mayapur is my international headquarters." There was only one building. It was the Lotus Building. You know the Lotus Building? Yeah? That was the only building. Everything else was just paddy fields. And I remember we were looking at each other when Prabhupada said that, wondering whether perhaps he has some kind of fever this morning. To us, it was inconceivable that Mayapur would become an international headquarters for ISKCON. But of course we can see today that yes, of course, Mayapur is our international headquarters, without a doubt. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta adjusted the tradition of Krishna consciousness to conform with technological and social conditions of the 20th century. He considered the printing press the most effective means of spreading Krishna consciousness throughout the world and was himself the author of many important translations, commentaries, philosophical essays. His English was so high that even professors of English professors could not understand it. Even learned Western devotees, when reading his Brahma Samhita, must repeatedly consult a dictionary. When Bhakti Siddhanta was in college, he made one remark one day, "I have come to learn from you, but am I going to learn from you, or are you going to learn from me?" He made that statement to one professor. And in fact, he didn't stay very long in college. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he took him at that time to another school which was famous for the teachings of the Gaudiya Vaishnava learning. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati was the first spiritual master to allow his renounced preachers, sannyasis, to wear Western clothes and travel in modern conveniences rather than on foot. I was reading that during that time, prior to Bhakti Siddhanta's preaching, anyone who was in the renounced order was very, very simple in his dress. Didn't wear any socks. If he had a chadar, it would be a very simple chadar. Of course, nowadays things have changed. We have chadars, we have socks, we have iPads, we have cell phones. We travel in modern cars. We have palatial temples and guest house facilities. So things have changed remarkably from Bhakti Siddhanta's time. He started to preach to his disciples that when you go preaching, go in the best car, because otherwise people will not take you very seriously. By the way, the devotees that are doing this, don't do that, because I did that in front of Prabhupada once, and he chastised me. He said, stop that. He didn't need to say anything else. I understood within moments my impatience. This is impatience, right? When is this class going to stop? I know you're doing it unconsciously, but it's not very good in front of a speaker. It's okay. It's okay. What was I saying? Yes. And he said that you should wear very nice ironed costumes. I know that from my experience here, because prior to this construction, we only had a makeshift temple just on the out in the courtyard there. Do you ever see pictures of that? In fact, there were no walls. It was just corrugated iron roof, and the deity had a little enclosure. And I remember that in those days, the Bombayites used to challenge us. We would give our Bhagavad Gita classes, talk about Krishna, and then at the end of the class, they would put their hand up. Why Krishna? Why are you talking only about Krishna? Why not Durga? Why not Ganesh? Why not Shiva? Why Krishna, Krishna, Krishna? Of course, our reply was very straightforward, that yes, as far as the demigods, they will give you what you want, but with Krishna, he will only give you what you need. You will not surrender to Krishna, because Krishna, another name for Krishna is Hari. Hari means the one who takes everything away from you. That is why you will not surrender to Krishna. And if all the gods are the same, then why not Krishna? And that's the answer. No, you will not surrender to Krishna, because Krishna will take away everything. One time, an Indian gentleman came before Prabhupada and said, please, Swamiji, give me your mercy. And Prabhupada said, no, you don't need my mercy. No, I do need your mercy. Please give me your mercy. And Prabhupada said again, no, you do not need my mercy. But this man insisted, no, Swamiji, you're a great sadhu, a great worldwide preacher. Please give me your mercy. So then Prabhupada gave his mercy. He said that I pray that Krishna will take everything away from you, all your material. That is my mercy. So they did not take us very seriously because we didn't have a temple. But as soon as the construction was finished here in Bombay, this nice marble temple was opened. It was interesting to see the first darshan of the Bombayites. Would you like me to demonstrate? Okay, here's the darshan. I mean, if I'm sitting like this in front of you, what does that mean? If I sit like this in front of you, what does that mean? Huh? No, not astonishment. Arrogance. You have one deity here, Krishna standing like this. Huh? Vital. Only Krishna can stand like this. We cannot stand like this. But that was the darshan. They were thinking, okay, Krishna, you got a marble temple. Do you know who I am? I am the proprietor of that factory down the road. I have 300 employees. I am very well known here in Bombay. How long are you staying, Krishna? How long are you staying? So this was the darshan. It was a surprise, yes. But the surprise was also arrogant. Where have you come from, Krishna? We've never had a Krishna temple here in Bombay. Where have you suddenly come from? But of course, after some time, the darshan changed. When they saw that Krishna was here to stay, when they started realizing that he was actually the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the controller of all the demigods as well, it went from this to this. Sri Radharasa Bihari Ki. So, but I remember those days. It was very difficult to go to downtown Bombay to make live members. I used to go with Giriraj Swami. He trained me up. Sometimes we would sit there and explain everything about our temples in the West. Here's the Los Angeles temple, here's the New York temple, here's the London temple. And then they were asked, well, where is your Bombay temple? Well, we have a Bombay temple in Juhu. Because they knew it was just a shack. Shanti. Shack temple. But now, of course, after opening, we didn't need to go out anymore. They came to us. Oh, you have such a nice temple here. Please make me the live member. So this is how we can see how Bhaktisiddhanta, he was a visionary. He could see that with opulence, then using everything in Krishna's service, using yukta vairagya, that this would be the future of the Hare Krishna movement. Once Prabhupada arrived at an airport and he was questioned by some reporters, oh Swami, you are going to go to your temple in this fancy car that's parked outside. They were a little bit critical of that. Why do you have a fancy car waiting for you outside? So Prabhupada said, Krishna deserves more than that car. He deserves more. But because this is all you have to offer, I will use this in Krishna's service. Because this is all you have to offer, then I will use this in Krishna's service. So nothing, there's nothing that we cannot use in Krishna's service. In fact, that the devotees are the biggest sense gratifiers, because we're not satisfied until everything is used in Krishna's service. We want everything to be used in the service of Krishna. We want the national libraries, we want the palaces, we want anything that can be used for the service of assisting Lord Chaitanya in spreading his Sankirtan movement. In 1933, Abhay formally became a disciple of Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati, who gave him the name Abhay Charan. Abhay Charan out of Vrinda. Within 11 years, from 1926 to 1937, preaching was spread everywhere. But before that, so much time was spent in merely setting the foundation. Bhaktisiddhanta published a magazine, magazines, daily, weekly, monthly magazines in Sanskrit, Bengali, Hindi, Orissan, English. He established the Gaudiya Vaishnava line very strictly, and there was so many difficulties in his preaching campaign. We cannot even imagine the difficulties that Bhaktisiddhanta went through to inaugurate these 64 centers around India. There was so much opposition to Bhaktisiddhanta's preaching. And at that time, even his disciples were not even allowed to enter temples in Vrindavan and Navadvip. This was because the so-called Goswamis were making a business out of bhakti. So Prabhupada himself mentioned that, yes, my spiritual master, he had a chopping technique in his preaching. Whenever he saw that there was something not correct, he would chop it to pieces. And that way, he was not very famous, especially the so-called Goswamis, who are using bhakti as a business. In fact, at one point, these Goswamis contacted certain policemen who accepted bribes. They came before these policemen and said, "Kill Bhaktisiddhanta. We want him killed. Kill him. We will give you sufficient money for this service." However, the police at that time, they said, "We don't mind taking bribes, but when it comes to a saintly person like Bhaktisiddhanta, we will not accept. We will not accept this offer." So Bhaktisiddhanta was anxious that his work would continue. He urged his disciples to form a governing body commission to manage the Gaudiya Math in his absence when he left this world. On January the 1st, 1937, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati passed from this world. But unfortunately, his disciples did not follow his instructions. And therefore, there was no governing body commission, and all the mats started to disunite, and the preaching began to become dwindles more and more. Everything became all disarray because of not following their spiritual master's instructions. However, Srila Prabhupada, he did follow those instructions. He took sannyas and he came to the West in 1965, and he inaugurated the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, commonly known as the Hare Krishna Movement. And it wasn't long before he established the GBC as the governing body for administrating the affairs of ISKCON activities. When Prabhupada himself left this world as disciples, we were feeling there was uncertainty amongst the disciples. How would this movement continue? How would the Hare Krishna movement, the worldwide international society for Krishna consciousness, continue without the founder Acharya, Srila Prabhupada? It was inconceivable to us that we were able to take his position and continue. But that was his order. He said, the foundation has been laid by Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Bhaktisiddhanta. I have given the framework. Now you fill the framework in. This is your job as disciples, as my disciples. Work cooperatively together and fill in the framework that I have given. So, it took many years for us to come over the separation of Prabhupada leaving. Of course, we could never come over a separation of your spiritual master leaving this world, but at least we began to realize that Prabhupada had not left us. Neither the Bhaktisiddhanta has left Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and any of the previous acharyas, they're still with us in their instructions. It is said that when you do something for your spiritual master, then the whole disciplic succession is right behind you in that, whatever you say and whatever you do. I am sitting here today on the order of my guru to give the Srimad Bhagavatam class. I am speaking only by his mercy. I am a living proof of Srila Prabhupada's mercy that I can sit on this asana and give a Srimad Bhagavatam class. Because prior to meeting Prabhupada, I was the lowest of the low, a chandala. My parents were chandalas. I was a chandala. When Prabhupada came to England, we had just got Bhaktivedanta Manor. And Prabhupada gave a series of Bhagavad Gita classes for 6 nights, he wanted to lower our nose. Because in England we kind of tend to put our nose like this. This is a pure devotee. He can go to a place and he can see what needs to be done to preach, how to preach. And for us British, he needed to lower the nose. Because otherwise we speak through the nose. Waft, waft. What did you say? I say, pass the salt there, please. You see, speak through the nose. It's all about the nose. So Prabhupada had to bring the nose down. He said, do you know what the British Raj did in India? For 6 nights he went into detail. Did you know that they started the tea drinking in India and the bidi smoking in India? It was the British that did that. He said, did you know that when Mahatma Gandhi started his peaceful independent movement against the British, he told them not to buy cloth anymore from England, to start weaving your own cloth? So then the British went around to the villages and they saw anyone who was weaving cloth, they cut off the fun of the weavers. He said, did you know that? Did you know that the British was the ones that started the slaughterhouses in India? And he went into detail like this for 6 nights. Just to make this nose come down that you're not British, you're now Vaishnava. But the Vaishnava must bring his nose down. And then he put the icing on the cake. He said, have you seen the camels in India? So he imitated the camel. Yeah? The only camels, they walk with their nose in there. He said, yes, the camels in India, they're the reincarnation of the British Raj. Yes, Prabhupada. We will surrender to you, Prabhupada. What a wonderful society we belong to. We are so fortunate. We're so fortunate we don't even know the extent of our fortune. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Yeah. It's a privilege to be a devotee. We should see it like that. It's a privilege. You are coming into Krishna consciousness with so much opulence around you. So, it's a privilege. Not only opulence, the Sankirtan movement is purifying our hearts. All the dust that has been accumulated for years and years, lifetimes after lifetime, just by clapping our hands and chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, taking prasad every day, associating with each other, helping Lord Chaitanya and the previous acharyas in spreading the Sangatan movement. We're so fortunate. I was in Mayapur a couple of years ago and I saw 6,000 devotees with their hands in the air chanting Jai Sachinandana Gora Hari. And I was thinking, yes, Prabhupada, it's okay, your movement is here to stay. As disciples, we have to feel like we have to feel worthy of leaving this world in the hands of the young devotees. But what is that worthiness? The reassurance to Prabhupada. Prabhupada, yes, your movement is here. It is strong. It will continue for the next 10,000 years. I personally have that reassurance, and therefore I am Krishna, please, if you so desire, let me leave this world. There are so many qualified personalities who have great intelligence, willpower, and determination to continue your movement. So let us, on this day of the appearance day of Bhakti Siddhanta, Saraswati Guru Maharaj, Prabhupada, continue begging for his mercy. He is giving his mercy at every moment of our life, but especially on this day. Let us eagerly approach him for unalloyed mercy. Bhaktisiddhanta, you did so much for us. Without your mercy, I wouldn't be sitting here today. Please give me your mercy so I can also help those in the future. This should be our prayer. There shouldn't be one day passing in our spiritual life where we do not assist someone who does not know about Lord Chaitanya and his Sankirtan movement and help them to come closer, realizing the goal of life, this human life. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. I will stop there. There is a few moments for questions. If there's... No questions? Okay. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Guru Maharaj Prabhupada Ki Srila Prabhupada Ki Tai Gaur Premanand Hari Hari.